This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
And with us is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. You can find him online at rippleconnects.com, 763-438-1621. And hello, Joe McKenzie.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us on this weekend. And we've really got a big topic. In fact, it's so big that we're going to spend a couple of weeks on it. We're talking about sought-after transferable skills in the new corona environment, the new corona economy. First, as people are hearing this, going, my goodness, that's a long title. Let's break this down. Let's first of all talk about transferable skills. What is a transferable skill?
Absolutely, Freddie. Transferable skills are skills that you already possess that are sought after by employers in other industry sectors. And I can't think of a more timely topic than what we're experiencing now in the new corona economy, where we've seen layoffs in one industry sector and we've seen other industry sectors booming. If we as human beings, as professionals, don't ever get to the point where we realize what our transferable skills are, we may miss out on opportunities for career reinvention or recalibration. And it's a tough economy out there to get hired in. So it's almost essential that we know what our transferable skills are.
So give an example. Let's say that you're in marketing. What would be a transferable skill as an example?
It could be the communication skill, the ability to listen to your client, to write. The writing is a part of communication as marketability. Marketing can be in various industry sectors, Freddie, but the core of marketing is going to be writing, communication, listening, and just understanding your audience. Mm-hmm. That equates to a lot of different industries. Agreed?
I would agree. And I would suspect that a lot of people don't know that they have these transferable skills. They may think that there is only applicable to the situation or the opportunity in which they find themselves. So with that as a backdrop, Joe McKenzie, why should we even be considering taking the steps to realize what our transferable skills are, particularly in this new economy? Why is that important?
Well, there's just so many shifts in the economy going on. No one has a crystal ball on what it's going to look like next spring. We've seen the leisure and hospitality sector just decimated by the coronavirus. People are not traveling. They're not going to restaurants. They are home-based. So you see an industry that employs hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans that are being laid off or furloughed. And that's just one example of these shifts in the economy that there's still more shocks to come, I believe, because it's still playing out in front of us. But back to transferable skills, if a professional is in one of those industries that experiences those shocks or disruptions and is forced to make a change, I suggest not going back to the industry that you're in because it's experiencing that, but take the steps to realize what your transferable skills are and more important, what are sought after by employers in industries that are doing well. That's why I want to dedicate 2 weeks to transferable skills. It's not a flat topic. It's a topic that should be fleshed out, should be talked at with other people in your family, in your network. Realize what your transferable skills are. Understand what employers are looking for in regards to what skills are sought after. And so shifts in the economy, disruptions in the economy force us to be ready to know when we have to make a change. And the first step is knowing what skills are going to transfer to different industries, Freddie.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, the co-host on our New Beginnings program, and we're talking about sought-after transferable skills in the new corona economy. So even if our job doesn't seem to be challenged right now, Joe, it seems like, are you also saying that we should take stock of what our skill sets are just in case?
Absolutely. Know what skills are needed and sought after by employers will only allow you to be nimble and not get caught flat-footed.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us. So what are some of the transferable skills that are most sought after by employers today? We talked earlier about marketing, but what are some of the skills that we can self-identify as those that other employers might be looking for?
And I'm going to break this up over 2 weeks because it's not just one or two skills. There's probably eight or nine skills that I think rank up there with what are most sought after. But I think one of the most critical transferable skills today in an economy that's constantly changing on us, and companies are trying to remain nimble to reach markets and stay relevant and just keep moving forward, is communication. I think the ability to communicate effectively, and that could be verbal, that could be written, and that could be listening. The ability to listen is a key part of communication, and that can transfer from the construction industry, from an industry that's experiencing some downfalls to the technology sector, the agricultural sector, the trade and transport sector. The ability to listen to a customer or a client or knowing your audience, I think communication skills is probably one of the top sought after skills by employers. Do you agree with that, Freddie Bell?
I agree. As a matter of fact, I'm in contact with a young communications major, and I remember hearing a conversation about these majors in communication, and he was saying people who with communication degrees have gone on to become great lawyers. They're leaders of companies. They're also great negotiators, and they're good marketers. And so don't discount the idea that communications is something to poo-poo, but is actually you find communications degrees or people who have these degrees are leaders in our United States economy. So it seems as if that is a key one.
It is, especially in a world we live in. Understanding what are the pain points of our clients. If you have someone that doesn't effectively communicate to your clients or doesn't effectively listen to your clients or communicate in written fashion to your clients, you may lose them. And I know that is a top skill that employers are looking for. Not only outward facing, think of the team approach. When you have teammates that are effectively communicating with each other and listening to each other, you have a more cohesive team, correct?
I would agree.
Well, now more than ever, collaboration, teamwork helps the companies that are up against a lot of market forces transcend that, move above that, because it's the communication as the core of the team. So communication, I think, as a takeaway, is one of the most important transferable skills in the new corona economy. And I also want to add one other skill that I think is critical, and that's critical thinking skills. The ability to bring your critical thinking skills from one industry to another that's transferable, portable, what have you, thinking about solving a problem and using your critical thinking skills and what you bring to an organization or a team, that's sought after by employers. We have new challenges in front of us that we didn't have on January 1st, 2020.
That's true.
So the ability to think critically about how you're going to navigate these waters is sought after and is transferable. If you have critical thinking skills, I want someone to realize that, harness it, self-market that, and identify areas and industries that need that. And that is critical. That is a critical transferable skill that I think will help companies through this time.
In the minute or so that we have left, Joe, actually a little less than that, can you help us to understand how we start to critically assess what our transferable skills are?
I think reflection is the first part. Think about your roles that you've had in your current job or past jobs that people came, you know, approached you, talked to you about, sought advice, answers, but also talk with the people that know you the best, Freddie. I learned my transferable skills through my bench of advocates. My advocates told me that I was a good listener. My advocates told me that I understand how to get into new markets and accounts because of my skills and my savvy. Those are things that I've been taking with me to different industries for 30 years. That reinforcement from your bench of advocates helps you to get out of your head and know what could be marketable. So reflection, and then engage with your bench of advocates to kind of test the waters and let them know, let them know what you're trying to do. But Freddie, your bench of advocates, as I've always said, is going to be honest with you. And if they give you honest feedback, that's something you have to take seriously and run with.
Makes sense. That's Joe McKenzie on New Beginnings. And Joe, you do some fine work, and I can't wait to get to part two of this when we join again next week.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Registered representatives of Strategic Visionaries are registered with and offer securities through Securities America, Inc., member SIPC.
Now we turn our attention to your money. What to do with your retirement plans, investing, a lot of it as it relates to what you're doing if you're a baby boomer and even younger than that. With us right now is Whitney Emanuel. She is the visionary behind Strategic Visionaries. You can find her at strategic-visionaries.com, 612-296-6939. Whitney Emanuel, good morning and welcome.
Thank you, Freddie. Good morning.
Glad you're with us. And let's talk about, I saw the topic and I smiled. I said, socially responsible investing. I only had an idea, but you're the expert. First, what is socially responsible investing?
Had you heard of it before?
I have never heard of it before.
Okay. So it's important to the people that it's important to. And so they've heard of it. And so what I mean by that is our money can cause change, right? So people think about, oh, I can contribute to a political party. I can donate. But if you're thinking about where most of our baby boomers' money is going, it's towards their investments. And so when you're thinking about that, let's say something's really important to you and you don't want to invest in things that are not in alignment with your values, then you want to be more socially responsible with your investment choices. So that's really what it is. It's an investment strategy that's aligned with your portfolio and your personal convictions.
So when you have money already invested in different buckets where you've got, I don't know, maybe in this frame and you've got all these different vehicles inside that frame, how can you be socially responsible in that regard?
That's a good question. So there are a couple ways. You can choose mutual funds or exchange traded funds or indexes that are actually socially responsible by label. And so those funds will be managed in a certain way to be in alignment with people's values. So for example, there are environmental funds where the management of the fund chooses companies that are investing in alternative type of energy to help better help the environment. And so that's just one example.
I see. Everyone, we're talking with Whitney Emanuel, Strategic Visionaries. We're talking about socially responsible investing. So are there different types of strategies when you think about this type of investing?
Yes, definitely. And I talk to my clients about this. This is, I mean, I have a lot of clients that are interested in this. So I've spent some time really looking at what are the different ways to invest socially responsibly. Mm-hmm. So the first is screening. So what screening is when you are excluding investments from your portfolio based off on your criteria. So some people think of these as the sin stocks: gambling, pornography, alcohol, tobacco, nuclear weapons. Some people don't want to invest in war, so they won't invest in defense or weapons companies. Companies that have poor labor relations, or they don't look at the environment. There are even funds that are Christian funds. There are Muslim funds. I mean, there are a lot. Animal rights, vegan. So any issue that you are is important to you, you can choose, and there should be a fund out there for you.
Interesting. So are there some common ones that people look at when they start to move in this area with their financial planners?
Yep. So there are a couple mutual funds that I'm familiar with. And this is, so there are, you know, platforms of investing and ways to invest, and we should talk about that in another call, but
sure.
I'll just focus on mutual funds today.
Mm-hmm.
So mutual fund companies that I'm familiar with that I've used fairly recently for socially responsible is Calvert. That is owned by Eaton Vance. Then we have Parnassus is a really popular one. And then another one is called PAX, P-A-X. So these are companies that have more focused on environmental types of investing. And they also, Calvert is probably the most well-known
mm-hmm.
and for responsible, socially responsible investing. They've been around for a long time. And in my opinion, they've been a trailblazer in the industry for mutual fund investing that is socially responsible.
Interesting. Talk about the strategies that you use when you come to this type of investing.
So actually what I do with my clients initially is I have them go through a values exercise. And so I do this with all my clients, regardless of whether or not they want to invest this way, because what really drives our money decisions are our core values and our fears. And so I go through that. So let's say someone says that the environment is important to them, or as we go through our initial conversation, they talk about how they work in nonprofits and they're for labor rights. So if that's the case for you and you want to invest your money, then I know already in my mind that this type of investing might be more important to you than somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So does it go right down the line then with maybe there's advocacy or something related
sure.
to the community?
Yep. So the first is screening, which we already talked about. It's avoiding things that are wrong. But another thing that people want to do are really stand for something with their investments. So that's where you go with shareholder advocacy. So that's where you're looking at companies that are investing, where you as an investor can use your voting rights to promote change within the company. You're looking at companies that are investing this way. So you can affect your, by putting your money in these funds, you are affecting more change. And because in mutual funds, you're holding that money mutually with other investors. And so all of that money, you know, ends up being millions and billions of dollars can make a difference.
Wow.
So that's the shareholder advocacy side of it. And then lastly, there's community investing. This is going to be the newest way of doing it. So this is where you cut out really the mutual fund and you just go to various companies. I've seen it where you can actually directly go to various places and you can actually invest directly with, let's just say, an underprivileged country where citizens are trying to start a company. So you can actually go and lend them money and then you get a 2% or 3% rate of return on your money. So, and you can do that with even small amounts of money. So this is, like I said, the quickest growing. And I think a lot of people really like it because they feel more like they're making an impact and mm-hmm. you don't have to do a lot of money with that. So that's a very interesting new way of doing it. But that's something that I have been exploring with my clients.
So I know that you have customers who sit across from you. Do they ever ask you which is better, Whitney?
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they do some. It really depends on what the person is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say, I just want to invest socially responsibly. And so we'll probably go the mutual fund route or index fund route, which is more traditional. It's simple and I can set it up. And that's with both the screening and the shareholder advocacy. So do you want to stand against something or do you want to stand for something? So those are the first two. Community investing, it's difficult for me to facilitate those transactions. And so if a client really wants to do that, I will give them resources. But if they want it done for them, then I can't do it. So really, it's just a matter of ease. How far does someone really want to go? And lastly, with the community investing, if you want to go and do the BART lending to people, you may not get as high of a rate of return. So that's another thing to consider.
All right. We're talking about socially responsible investing. This is New Beginnings.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And now we get an opportunity to talk with Kelly Von Heidekamp, the founder of West Metro Hypnosis, taking care of people for quite some time. 952-222-3975. That's her POTS line, the plain old telephone system, 952-222-3975. Or you can do it in the modern age. Go online at westmetrohypnosis.com. Good morning, Kelly, and welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me here, Freddie. I'm excited about our talk today.
I am too, because you're talking about aging in reverse, and I just love that idea.
Yeah, because you and I had an offline conversation, and we were just talking sort of about the point in time that we find ourselves in, and how you and I both came to this realization that we get to a spot, to an age, and it may be different for every person, where we start to get this feeling that we're running out. We're running out of time. Mm-hmm. We're running out of health. We're running out of resources. We're running out of the ability to have fun, to be joyful. And you had mentioned, you know, for you, it all almost showed up as, you know, there's a certain way you're supposed to behave and a certain way you're supposed to act at a certain age. And you and I both agreed, you know what, let's just stop that. Let's just stop and begin to create a new idea, a new thought. And what if we no longer thought that as we age, we run out of time, but that we are actually gaining health, we are gaining wisdom, we are gaining experience, we are gaining freedom to be joyful and playful, that we can claim these things for ourselves. Where did this idea that deterioration with age is an absolute? I certainly don't want to buy into that. And I know that you don't want to buy into it either. That's why your journey with creating a healthy weight for yourself is so inspiring and amazing, because you're choosing not to buy into this idea.
Absolutely. I feel like I have bought my own ticket, punched it to where I want to go, and I chart the course.
There you go. And way back when, on July 4th, that's what we were exactly what we were talking about, the freedom to change your mind. So I'm going to challenge all of our listeners here today that I'm assuming is kind of in the same age demographic as we find ourselves to be in, mm-hmm. to start challenging those ideas. And if you've bought into that conditioned belief that there's a certain way you're supposed to look, that you're supposed to act, you're supposed to feel, if that doesn't benefit you in tangible, real ways, disregard it and claim that freedom of mind to begin to cultivate a new attitude, a new belief, and a new system that works for you.
How do you start changing the paradigm, Kelly?
Well, you know, you and I are very familiar with denials and affirmations.
Yes,
first,
we
can deny that these old beliefs affect us, that we do not have to give them power. These, and becoming aware of the collective conditioned beliefs and where they come from, and just sort of, you know, negating them and saying, I am not going to believe that about myself anymore. I'm not going to believe that about myself anymore. And then again, we talked about knowledge is power. Start informing yourself of the truth of how your body does actually renew itself. You don't run out of life force. As long as you're alive, your life force is intact. So this idea of deterioration is just nonsense, and we do not have to buy into it.
And I promise you, I'm not buying into it. And thank you for the affirmation this weekend. That's Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Time to turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, where we find the center coordinator, Miss Kitty Harris. She is a center coordinator for the last 8 years there. The address is 1015 4th Avenue North. The telephone number is 612-344-2221. Good morning, Kitty, and welcome back.
Good morning, Freddie. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us here on New Beginnings.
I also understand there is some sad news to report concerning one of your collaborative partners.
Our longtime partner, the YMCA of the Greater Twin Cities, has officially moved out of our space as of the end of this month. And we were very sad to see that partnership grow, to leave the space. And so what that means for our seniors, the YMCA had been, they were an initial tenant there. They were our anchor tenant. So they have been with us in partnership for 8 years at Cora McCorvey. And they will continue their service to seniors in North Minneapolis by combining their services with the current facility that is housed over on North Broadway. So we do still encourage people to visit the YMCA on Broadway and learn about the new programs that they will be putting in place for their Forever Well component there. But what the YMCA's absence does for us at Cora McCorvey is it leaves a hole, and we are currently looking to fill that hole. MPHA, as well as all of our current partners, have a commitment to make sure that the center has a health and wellness component, and we know that physical fitness is very key. And so we are looking for an interested partner to come on board with us and provide that much needed physical component there. We currently don't have a specific health facility in mind, but we would love for an organization who does not have a presence in North Minneapolis to come on board with us and join our commitment into making sure that seniors have a place where they can continue to go and have movement and activities and engagement and continue our mission to provide wraparound services for our senior population.
And as I understand it, the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center continues to be a beehive of activity.
Coming up at the end of August, we will be hosting another blood drive in partnership with the American Red Cross. Our blood drive that we held a couple of months ago was very successful. We had over 35 people from the community come out. And we know with everything that's going on in our world right now with COVID-19, as well as just having a need for blood to be available, hosting a blood drive is very vital. So we encourage people to visit our link, www.redcrossblooddrive.org, and enter our sponsor code, MPHA, as our sponsorship code. They can enter in there and they can set up a time to come over and donate blood. And as a way of saying thank you, that blood drive is going to be on Wednesday, August the 26th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And as a way of saying thank you, all presenting donors will receive a Amazon gift card from the Red Cross. And so, again, we are encouraging people to visit www.redcrossblood.org and enter MPHA sponsor code and sign up for our August 26th blood drive.
I also hear that you have a new responsibility with the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Yes, I do have a newly received promotion. I have been promoted to the property manager of Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And what that simply means is that I will keep doing the wonderful job that I was doing organizing programs and events for the community, but I will also be working closely with our on-site partners to ensure, from a facilities standpoint, that the center has everything that those partners need to continue to provide those ongoing services. And so at this time, we are happy to report that all of our other partners are continuing to provide their vital services to the community. So we do still have North Point Health and Wellness providing daily health and wellness services to our older adults. Oldham Health and Wellness is still up and running and doing their occupational therapy, speech therapy, and pool therapy, as well as our new partner, the Lau Assistance Center, has moved in on our second floor, and they are there providing services for the Lau community and all of their needs. So lots of things going on at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and we encourage people to visit us on Facebook under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, or on our website at www.heritageparkcampus.org.
All right, Kitty, I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning. If you'd like more information, you can always reach them at 612-344-2221. Again, the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, located at 1015 4th Avenue North, and this is New Beginnings. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.